We are now continuing our sermon series called Pray Like This, looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we come now to what I like to call the second table of the Lord's Prayer, where we change our focus from God's glory and all of His splendor, from the heights of heaven. We pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray for bread. We turn from the heights and glory and honor and majesty and splendor of God's glory to the rumblings of our stomachs. And for that, we now turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that you are in fact the Word, the living bread we need to sustain our souls. Lord, we know, and we come knowing that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we pray that you would help us with your Spirit, by your Spirit, to have before us a feast. Lord, let us not come here thinking we know it all, but let us come here empty-handed, willing for you to feed us what we need for today. Lord, we pray that you would help myself, that I am weak and needy, and come weak and needy to this task as a feeble man. But also, Lord, we pray that we would come with open ears, willing and able, only through the help of your Spirit, to be fed today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we will be reading from verses 9 to 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Please take heed how you hear. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Like I said before, this is an interesting change in the Lord's Prayer. It goes from the heights of heaven now to our stomachs, now to a piece of bread. What a change that is. But John Calvin, I think, rightly points out that the second part of the prayer follows, in which we descend into our own affairs. But we do not, indeed, bid farewell to God's glory. For Paul testifies that we have seen even food and drink in 1 Corinthians 10:31. We pray for God's name to be hallowed. We pray for His kingdom to come. We pray that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But now we turn to ourselves. Turn to us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. And we realize that even in the small, mediocre, the average portions of this prayer, we are actually praying for God to be glorified. And today we will be looking at this. What are we actually asking for? What requests are we making when we pray this fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. The first one, first request we make is a fatherly request. When we petition God, give us, we need to remember that the Lord's Prayer begins with our Father. That all the petitions that we're asking are directed towards our Father in heaven. And this request of daily bread is made to our Father in heaven. It reminds you of a chapter later where Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" How much more, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And when we pray our daily bread, we're petitioning God our Father to give us our needs. We realize that every good and perfect gift comes from him, the Father of lights. James 1:17 says that we go from the heights and the glory and the splendor of God to what seems to be insignificant in comparison, a slice of bread. When we think about God's name in its glory, in its splendor, in what the respect and honor is due to him, in worship, in our days, in our lives, when we think about God's kingdom and the far reach of it, when we think about the salvation of the lost, when we think about his will be done, his hidden will, in him carrying out all his works of providence. And then even in his revealed will, his sovereignty over telling us and commanding us how we may glorify and honor him and enjoy him forever. And then we come to this prayer for bread. It seems so simple. It seems so insignificant. But how much more does our Father in heaven who cares for the sparrows, as we look and the Father feeds them, then this request shows us the breadth and the love of our Father. That he cares for you. He cares that you have bread on your plate. And we only need to ask that the God, this is for God's glory. That when we think about these petitions of give us, it doesn't shift because it is for God's glory. When he gives us our bread, we give glory and honor to him. That our Father in heaven cares for us, even in the mundane, even in the simple. He cares what we eat, that we eat. I think there's two directions some people might take this. The first is that this is not a demand. That when we state, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're not demanding God put things on our plate. As we talked about last week, the revealed will of God. That we can't then take this prayer when we pray, "Your will be done." We're praying that his hidden will would be done, but we're also praying what he has revealed in Scripture to be done. So we can't then pray for his will to be done and neglect his will. We see this in Proverbs 30, verse 8. When it says, "Remove far from me the falsehood of lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful to me, lest I be full and deny you and say to you, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." That we cannot then take this prayer and become the lazy man or the sluggard, unable or unwilling, or more unwilling to work while able. This prayer is not a handout Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. And this petition does not then cancel out what God has revealed in the scriptures, especially after praying for God's will to be done. So we cannot demand this of God, expecting our plate to be full when we are unwilling to work yet able to work. But I think this is probably not as true in our congregation. But I think the opposite is maybe correct and sad. That often we do not see our resources as God's resources or as a blessing of God's blessing upon us. We take it to the extreme and say that we have earned our daily bread by the sweat of our brow, and we take for granted these blessings which God has given us. And Calvin explains the reason that we ask is to show that it's not actually from our hand. The fact that we ask that it be given to us signifies that it is a simple and free gift of God. However, it may come to us, even when it would seem that we have obtained it by our own skills and diligence and supplied by our own hands. The fact that we even ask God to give us this day our daily bread shows that we do not earn it with our own hands. It is then a gift from God. And we take that for granted. We do not see it as a gift that our able bodies are a gift from God to be able to earn this blessing. We might tithe, but then we think the remainder of it is for us. But rather than this concept that all of it is God's, and a 10% is used for God to build his kingdom through the church, and the other 90% is still to be used for his glory and his honor and his splendor, that we should steward it appropriately. And when we're looking at this gift from the Father, I love the Heidelberg Catechism, and one of my favorite questions is question one, and the close second is question 27, where it talks about God's providence, and he says, God still upholds heaven and earth, with all creatures so governs them, that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sicknesses, riches and poverty, yea, all things, can come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. That all things, whether that be rain or drought, fruitful or barren years, health or sickness, and the Father knows how to give good gifts. And when we pray to God to provide all that we need in our daily bread, we're praying that our Father who cares for his children. Now, often we forget this important truth. As we pray our Father and petition him for our needs, we're asking God to be our provider. This sounds simple, but sometimes a father might withdraw desires of his own children to give them actually what they need. Sometimes a father knows the shortfalls and the temptations and seeks not to give his child their wants because it will lead to their demise. Sometimes praying this prayer is asking for just enough to get by each day. And sometimes it is asking to show us how much we actually need. And this is actually a dangerous prayer, that we would be more dependent on our Father. Because how often we think we come to things with our own will, our own desires, our own actions, our own merit, that our hands are actually what bring us our daily bread rather than seeing it from a blessing from God. It is a fatherly request. It is, secondly, a family request. We see this in the plurality of what the actual pronouns we're using. Give us our daily bread. It's interesting that the prayer is formed not give me this day my daily bread. But that's probably what we're praying and thinking when we pray this prayer. But we're actually praying together as a church. As I stated before, this petition is not a handout. However, we realize that seasons come and go. And these seasons affect ourselves, but also affect our community. Even today, as I preach, 1 in 6 working Americans have lost their jobs. And how important that is when we think about the community of the church, when we pray, give us, not give me. And we see this in the book of Acts. We see the pattern of breaking bread, which can either mean the Lord's Supper or even just fellowship meals. And this unity found in the church shows that we would rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, Paul writes in Romans 12. Now it's clear, we need to make it clear, that your possessions don't become the church's when you become a member. That your possessions still remain in your name, but they then don't become the church's. So it doesn't become this socialism in the church where we just share every portion among the members. They remain in your name. But we do need to remember that they come from our Father who is in heaven. And James asks this rhetorical question in James 2. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Do we realize that they remain yours in name, but they actually are God's to be stewarded? And I actually believe that if Christians across the globe shared in their abundance and their riches and their blessing, there would be no other Christian in need. We would see the eradication of poverty within the church. And I think this is essential in the early church when we look at the daily distribution in Acts chapter 6. The elders did not then think it was appropriate to eliminate that ministry just so they could focus on word and prayer. They said, let it not distract us from word and prayer, but let us enable others. Let us choose from you 7 faithful men full of wisdom and the Spirit to form the diaconate to carry out this ministry of mercy. And I think a great book on this topic is The Deacon, The Biblical Foundation for Today's Ministry and Mercy. And our prayer for our daily bread should not just be on our minds, our singular minds, but rather the plural. When we hear of people losing their jobs, going through difficult times in their lives, when we hear of a single mom trying to make ends meet. And I think this shows the importance of the role of the diaconate in the church. Not as a simple band-aid over any solution, but as Acts says, men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, men who are able to help in times of crisis, but also help people with their poor habits, teaching and instructing them with wisdom and guidance. That we see this as a prayer for our church, not just ourselves. And then the broader church as well. George Mueller was a Christian missionary evangelist, and he ran orphanages in Bristol, England. And he was a man of great faith and a man of great prayer. He ran these orphanages, caring for 120,000 orphan children. And one morning, all the plates and the cups and the bowls and their table were empty. There was no food in the larder, no money in the bank to buy food. And the children were standing, waiting for their morning meal. And the Mueller said, "Children, you know, it must be time for school." Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank you for what you are doing to give us to eat." And right there was a knock at the door. A baker stood there and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you didn't have enough bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send some to you. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and I've bought it." Mr. Mueller thanked the banker, and no sooner than he left, there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. He would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and repair it. That we see there that a prayer for our daily bread shows God's means in how he might be able to answer this prayer as well. That we see God working in his people, in his church, to be able to provide. And what a great challenge for those of us who are blessed. What a great challenge for that of us who are blessed beyond measure sometimes. That God may provide through us, that we might be the extension of his hands. Or how important the diaconate is in a church, not to maintain just a building, but to be stewards of all that God has given them, and to be able to help those in need. It's true, I stated last week, we should be a church that practices what we pray, and in caring for widows and orphans. That's why in our church we have the food bank. And good thing to start considering how you might be able to contribute to that, even if it is a small amount each week. For you as a family, to consider random acts of kindness, if you think of your neighbors that might be going through hard times. Now, hardly ever as a family have we given cash as a means of assistance. I can think of maybe once or twice that we have done that. And help doesn't always have to be in the form of money. Help can come in many different ways. Providing a warm meal. Sharing clothes that you've outgrown. But also on the return, asking for help is very difficult. Sometimes it's awkward for all. But I think just bringing it up, having that a part of our conversation, is healthy as well. So it's a fatherly request. It's a family request. Thirdly, it's a fundamental request. That when we ask for our daily bread, we're asking for simplicity. The bare necessities. When we pray for our daily bread, it's not about an extravagant or luxurious lifestyle. The request is for the bare necessities, not a lavish feast. We do not pray for a daily donut or daily cake or cookie, but the foundation of food, bread. We do not even pray for more than what we can to make a sandwich. How often our prayers are shaped like a child's Christmas list of extreme and expensive toys compared to a simple prayer, simple sustenance to get us through the day. Ian Bounds says, "Desire precedes prayer. It accompanies it. It follows by it. Desire goes before prayer and by it. Created and intensified. Prayer is the oral expression of desire. The prayer shows us our heart, and it's hard to pray for what you don't desire. And how often we pray for wants over needs. Our prayers should reflect the simple understanding of our dependence upon God. As B.M. Palmer states, quite simply, prayer is creaturely dependence. We depend upon God for everything, the food on our table, the breath in our lungs. And praying for daily bread shows our dependence upon Him. Even when our cabinets are full, we can become discontent because God has not given us our wants rather than our needs. Jeremiah Burroughs said, "I am discontented because I have not these things which God never yet promised me. And therefore, I sin much against the gospel and against the grace of faith." When we pray for our wants rather than our needs, we're actually praying in discontented minds. We're discontent with what God has actually given us and blessed us with. And not praying for our daily bread and not seeing our daily bread as a blessing from God. Not seeing our daily bread as God giving us our own contentment in Him can show discontentment in our lives when we forget or neglect that our Father is the one who gives us our daily bread. When we take it for our own proud selves, thinking that we are the ones who have earned our daily bread. And we should seek to be content with our daily bread, even if others have a burger or steak. We're content that God has provided for us. This should be a fundamental request. Simple and a basic request. But not just solely just for physical bread. I think Calvin expands it rightly that not only for food and clothing, but also everything God perceives to be beneficial to us, that we may eat our daily bread in peace. That it's about our bare essentials. And in our minds, we might have a lot of bare essentials. I need my Netflix or Hulu. I need my fast internet. I need my most up-to-date iPhone. I need the most current car. I need the best brands. I need the biggest house. Well, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, "But if I have food and clothing, with these I will be content." What a shift in a mindset that we should go through. And how much we take things for granted. We should be content that God has given us His daily bread. Are we grateful for what God has given us? Are we content? Are we content when God has given us more? Are we content when God has given us less? We should be content with what God has given, and we should realize this is a fundamental request for the bare necessities, not what the people across the street have. So we have a fatherly request, we have a family request, we have a fundamental request, and fourthly, we have a familiar request. That this should be a familiar request to us. That we ask not just for our bread for a year, our yearly bread, but rather our daily bread. And this prayer should be daily on our lips. Now this word used to translate daily is found only in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and Luke. Many translators believe it means daily, today. Previously, some scholars had believed it to mean, give us today, give us tomorrow's bread. Either way, this prayer is temporal. It is short term. And we're not praying for bread for a year, but today. Daily bread reminds us of what we read just before in Exodus 16. The historical account of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And God provided manna from them from heaven daily for 40 years. 14,600 days He provided for them daily, day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. They would collect additional manna on Fridays to be able to keep for the Sabbath. But it would only be for today or tomorrow. But God provided for them in the most unlikely situation, in the most unlikely way. God gave them enough to sustain them for 40 years in a desert, in the middle of nowhere, where life is hardly ever sustained. God gave them bread daily. But how often did they take that provision for granted? How often would they complain about this? And how often we do likewise. But this prayer should be familiar to us. That there is not a day goes by that we are not dependent on God our Father. Not a day goes by that we are not dependent on God our Father to provide for us our daily bread. It's a request that we see that need, that realization. And this prayer should be familiar to us. Many times in the Bible, we're told not to be anxious or worried about tomorrow, but to focus on today. Now, this then does not mean that we only focus on today and we live paycheck by paycheck. Do we thank God that He has given us this abundant blessing, but also that we should save for retirement or save for a rainy day? But even in us saving, we're trusting in God for our daily provision. So do we give thanks to God daily for His provision for us? This is why it's important that Christians for centuries have given thanks at meals, grace or a blessing, and to really see that as God providing for us. It is a fatherly request. It is a family request. It's a fundamental request. It should be a familiar request to us. And finally, I believe it's a faith request. That when we pray for bread, we are praying for daily bread through faith. Now, the early church fathers wrote about this petition only as a spiritual request. It only talked of Christ. And I think many commentators today, because of our mindset of modern thought, try and eliminate the spiritual in a lot of things. And a lot of commentators or scholars would say that it's only about physical bread. And I think the pendulum can swing too far one of another. But I don't think it's hard to read this portion of Scripture and not think of great scriptures pointing to our needs, not only for our bread, but our belief, our bellies, but also the need for bread for our souls. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered the devil and when he was being tempted in the desert. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. John 6:26, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Even as we think about the Lord's Supper that is given for spiritual nourishment and growth in Christ, Westminster Confession of Faith says, we realize we have a soul as well as a body. And caring only for the body and neglecting the soul is not healthy. And the request for daily bread is not only seen as a prayer for physical bread, for the bare necessities of our physical life, but it's also a prayer and a quest for the bare necessities of our spiritual life, our soul. That we actually need bread to feed our souls. How often in the Western world we forget this and neglect this. We need living bread that came down from heaven daily. The Jeremiah Burroughs said before that if we would just have a mere crumb of Christ, then that would sustain us for our life, that would be all that we ever need. And this is a portion of what we pray when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're not just requesting that we would have grain and flour and milk baked. We would actually have Christ to sustain us. And we need Christ not just once a week, but daily. We need Christ. We need Christ to rescue us from this mere physical body that decays and rots. We need Christ to resurrect our souls, to bring life and breathe life into our lungs. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not just praying for a loaf of bread, we are praying also for Christ. That we would have a mere crumb of Christ to sustain our souls. We would be content in what Christ has given us. Do you pray this prayer? Do you realize you need Christ daily? Do you pray this prayer only asking for physical bread and your spiritual soul is rotting away from starvation? Or do you pray this prayer realizing that you can take your physical bread and God has provided that for you, but also God has provided the living bread that came down from heaven that sustains us not just for 14,000 days, but our whole life on here and in heaven. What a rich prayer. What a simple prayer. That when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that we realize and comprehend that we're praying to God our Father, who built the whole universe in days, placed stars in the sky, filled the ocean with all of its water, shaped Mount Everest, made creatures big and small. And yet, in this simple prayer, we ask Him, the Creator of everything, the one who sustains life, for bread. What a phenomenal God we serve. What a great prayer to pray daily. Let us now go to Him in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You care even for the least of us. That we look out to the fields and see how the flowers are clothed in splendor, bearing Your name, but also how You care for us. Lord, I pray we would come to You eager and willing to see You as our Heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts. Lord, I thank You that You have called us out of being children of wrath and called us to be Your own children, children of light. Lord, I pray that we would walk in that newness of life. We would walk as a family in unity, realizing that You have blessed us with different portions, with Your resources to carry out Your will. Lord, we pray that we would see this as a family request, that sometimes You have given one person two loaves of bread, while another You might have given none, that we might share with one another. Lord, I pray that we would realize this would be a fundamental request, that this would be an essential part of our lives as we see Your blessing in all aspects of our life, but also a familiar request that we would be dependent on You in all that we do. And finally, we would realize this is a faith request, that we're not just asking for bread on our plates, we're asking for Christ in our lives. Christ's blood to cover our sin. Christ's prayers on our behalf as our mediator. Christ's life for our sinful life. Christ's righteousness. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.